are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
This morning, my message, courage under fire. Olani Levuno may not have crossed the line in record time when he took part in the Comrades Marathon. Okay, listen. You can all jump up just now. Wait, listen to the story. Otherwise, people don't hear. But the fact that he did touched and inspired many across South Africa. Olani, a former drug addict, lost one leg in 2010 after suffering bone marrow cancer. But that did not stop him from taking part in the famous ultra marathon, taking off in the 90 kilometer route from Durban to Pietermaritzburg just after midnight to finish at 1700, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, alongside his buddy Hein Venter. Olani has inspired a nation with his courage. So today he's here with us, and we want him to stand right where he is, and everybody else stand to your feet. Put the camera on him. We honor you. Come on, give him a big, big, big shout out. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. High five, my brother. You make us all proud, amen. You are what my message is all about. Courage under fire, in Jesus' name. Take your seat, thank you very much. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I read from verse 1. The Bible says, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Okay, that's a problem already. I mean, one wife is enough. Amen. Come on, brothers. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. The keyboard down a little bit, thank you very much. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. I want to talk about how to go from down and out to recovering everything. I want you to picture this a story for a moment. David and his mighty men, these were warriors, had just come back from a successful episode. They come to Ziklag, and there they find it burned with fire, their wives taken captive, their children taken captive. So shocked were they, and so distressed were they, when they came back from the doctor, when they came back from the business deal, when they came back from the meeting, that all courage left them. And these mighty men fell on the ground, and there they were all weeping together. The Bible says, until they had no strength left. Imagine this. These were not some backward men. These were the best that David had. They had such a setback that they fell to the ground. And many of them wanting to quit. And there David was among his men. Talk about being under fire. Not only was his city burned, his home was burned, his wives were taken, his children were taken, but now those closest to him turn on him and they talk about stoning him. You always can tell who's with you when you're a man under fire, okay? When things go well, everybody, shabba, shabba, handai, shandai, hosanna. But when the pauper strikes the fan, you know who the ones are that are really with you. So how did David go from down and out to recovering all that God had for him? Because as much as we believe God for great things and sunny days, sometimes there are some rainy days. And we need to know how to get up from the ground when we get knocked down to the ground. So my message this morning is to have courage under fire. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, the Bible says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. But then the other key is David strengthened himself in the Lord. He got himself up to his feet again. It's never what knocks you down, it's how you get back up again. You want to be a winner in life, you have to get up one more time, then you get knocked down. Somebody say amen, come on, before I get to preaching. My friend, when you find yourself under fire, you have to know how to acquire knowledge. The late Clarence McCartney wrote a book called The Greatest Words in the Bible and in Human Speech. One chapter is entitled The Saddest Word, and he calls the saddest word sin. Indeed, amen. Because that's what separated us from God. Another chapter, he writes the most beautiful word, and he says forgiveness. Where would we be without forgiveness? And he continues to write many chapters on words, but he leaves out one word, which I believe is one of the noblest words of them all. And that is the word called courage. Courage, such a necessity to face the battles of life and to overcome adversity, but also courage needed to fulfill your destiny. Amen. A couple sitting here this morning in gym yesterday, they came to me, they both completed the Comrades Marathon, and I thought, oh Jesus, thank you very much. You've never called me to run the Comrades Marathon, but a big shout out for those that ran the Comrades. That's a lot of courage, okay. I never ran it. Come on, how many of you ran the Comrades Marathon? Give me a wave. Come on, there's a lot of you. Come on, respect, man, respect. Respect, okay. I'm sure when you run those 90 kilometers, there's a lot of times that you feel like quitting. Well, life is like that. Life is a journey. People have visions, people have dreams, and they want everything yesterday. The reality is there are setbacks, there are adversities. In John chapter 16, 33, Jesus said, in this world you will have adversity or tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. So if we want to overcome the obstacles in life, we are going to have to know where to get courage from. Because for you to cross that finish line, you need courage. For you to do what nobody else had ever done, you need courage. Courage goes way beyond a feeling. It's nice when you feel good, but when you don't feel so good, you need to know how to dip into something on the inside. When you feel like staying down, you need to know how to gather yourself and get yourself up again. Come on, just like David. He somehow had to find it in himself to get off the ground. He somehow had to get some courage before he could go inspire his men to follow him. He somehow had to gather himself within. Although he felt fragile on the outside and he was broken and he was distressed and he was discouraged and he had lost everything and his men turned around him, somehow he found it in himself to get back on his feet. And not only get back on his feet, but to persuade 600 men that were on the ground as well without strength to assist him and pursuing the enemy. And the Bible says they continued to pursue the enemy, but when they came to the brook Besor, 200 men stayed behind because they were so weary that they could not even cross a little river. But David and 400 others continued to pursue. And then when they found the enemy, the Bible says they attacked them from that night until the next evening. Now picture this. I mean, from the one moment flat on the ground, diagnosed by the doctor with a certain disease, losing your job, coming back and finding that your spouse has betrayed you, your father that should have been your caretaker molested you, coming back to find out that there is just a heap of ashes waiting for you. But I want to tell you this morning that we have an amazing God that promises to give us beauty for ashes. Come on. I don't care how bad the chapter is right now. The last chapter of your life is still being written. Come on. And at the end of your life, you will be on your feet and you will say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Come on. Somebody jump to your feet and give the Lord a crazy praise in this place. Hallelujah. We don't stop in chapter 1 or 2. As little as a marathon athlete stops at the 10 kilometer, 20 kilometer, 30 kilometer mark. Sometimes just before the breakthrough, the feelings to quit becomes the hardest. And if that's not enough, then there are people around you that will tell you to quit. I mean, I'm sure everybody could look at him and say, well, nobody's ever done this, you've done fine. But no, he decided, I'm going to finish. And that took a lot of courage. Somebody say amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When Joshua and Israel is about to possess the promised land, God comes to Joshua and God says to him, Joshua, you need a lot of courage to lead this generation into the future that I have for them. Three times in one chapter, God says to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. God knew exactly what they were going to face, how fierce and how real the enemy was. So God knew when the battle was the toughest, when they felt the loneliest, God knew they needed that little word called courage, which means so much. So if you are going to take the initiative and step forward and fight the battles, it's going to take courage. Thomas Carlyle said, the ultimate question in life that everyone has to answer is, will you be a coward or will you be a hero? In other words, to experience what God has for you, you need to make up your mind that I will keep on keeping on. If I fall on the ground, I'm going to get back up again. Come on, I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be a naysayer. I'm not going to roll over. I'm going to take over. Somebody shout amen in Jesus' name. Definition of courage. The Merriam-Webster dictionary says that courage is the mental or moral strength to venture, to persevere, and to withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. So it is the aptitude. Another translation says, or another definition of courage says, it is the inherent ability to suppress and control fear and its disturbing effects. Now we know fear is false evidence appearing real, but when you are attacked, that situation is very real. It is the inherent ability to control and suppress fear and its disturbing effects. Because when fear comes, faith goes. When fear comes, worst case scenario presents itself. And the devil whispers in your mind everything that can go wrong. So God says to Joshua, our whole generation died. You saw the giants. They are fierce. You are right. It is a challenge. It is a battle. But Joshua, you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. You need to man up. Come on. You need to face your adversity. You need to face your Goliath. You don't run away with your tail between your legs. You don't roll over. Come on. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Somebody shout, just because you can, as a man this morning, hoorah or something. Come on, brothers, make some noise of war in this place, the brothers. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I need a brother just to be like a man today. Come on, just to say a hoorah. Come on, come on. The New Testament Greek word defines courage as confidence or boldness. Muhammad Ali, you're coming down. In the fifth, you're coming down. I'll be the head, I'll not be the tail. I may be down, but I'm not out. I still breathe it. Amen. If I can't run, I'm going to walk. And if I can't walk, I'm going to crawl. And if I can't crawl, I'm going to drag myself. But while there's life in me, I'm not going to be a camper. I'm not going to be a settler. Come on. I'm going to take what God has given me, every place that the sole of my foot shall tread upon. God has given me. Come on. I'm not going to be part of the murmuring and complaining club. I'm going to be part of the celebrating, praising club. That God is good. I have a future. I have a hope. If God is for me, who can be against me? Oh, come on, Christian, in the name of Jesus. Courage! Courage is when someone rushes into a burning building, risking his own life to save a little child. It's when someone tackles an armed gunman who is killing innocent people. It's the little child with cancer who bravely smiles as he faces his painful treatment. It's the handicapped individual who refuses to sit back and feel sorry for himself, but instead forges ahead and insists on being involved with other people in a worthwhile activity. Courage is the university student who stands up and speaks out for Christ in a hostile classroom with an antichrist professor making fun of Christianity. It's the young person who resists the peer pressure to drink or indulge in sexual immorality, even though the rest of the crowd is doing it. Do I have a young person that is courageous this morning? Someone said any dead fish can drift with a current. It takes a live fish to swim against the current. It takes somebody with courage. Courage is the armor of the blind man. It is the calloused scar of the outlived despairs. Courage is fear that has been turned into prayer. The courage of the great English missionary C.T. Studd is reflected in these lines that he wrote, expressing the passion of his heart. Someone to live within a sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. So I don't want to live a safe life. I want to live a dangerous life. I want to live a life where I can face fires, come on, and move mountains in the name of Jesus Christ. And to do that, I need courage. Come on, oh, come on. Gone with a beige, boring, bland, mediocre Christianity. We are born from above. We are designed by God to venture into the distance, horizons, to believe anything is possible. Because God is for us. Who can be against us in Jesus' name? Courage! greatest example of courage, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest hero of them all, who faced every pain that we would face, who faced every temptation, every sin, every stain, every rejection, every emotional trauma, taking a bullet for you and me 2,000 years ago when he hung on the cross. Courage came as a man, not as a God. Sweated great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I don't know where we get this idea that Christianity is this little easy stroll. It's not, my brother and my sister. That early church was under fire. Those people had courage. Come on. You could not keep them silent. They would not bow to the world. They would not sell out. Come on. They would not be silenced in Jesus' name. When people threatened them not to talk about Jesus, they said, whether we obey God or you choose, but we can obey God. Courage. Courage. For the young person to have a prayer meeting. For the student to go back home where everybody is deeply involved in ancestral worship, to go back and say, I'm not here to condemn any of you, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, to tell people the truth, to go back to your father and to say, Pa, dit wat ons geglo het is nie reg nie. Jesus het gekom om jou te red. Courage to stand for truth. Courage to alleviate poverty. Courage to remove inequalities in our society. Courage for people to stand. Courage to say no to the bribe. Courage to believe that God will pay the bill and you don't need a sugar daddy. A blesser. I told you the story. I was driving between Bloemfontein and Pretoria, and I stopped in the shop in a Wimpy, and I like to bless people. That's what I do, because that's what Jesus did. God said to Abraham, you're blessed to be a blessing. So everybody that comes in connection with me should be better for it. Thank you for three amens. In any case, that's me and God, because I believe I have the covenant of Abram, which is blessed to be a blessing, not blessed, blessed to be a blessing. So here stands this beautiful girl, just climbed out of a taxi, and she stands there. I can see she's going through her wallet, her purse, whatever she had. She's counting her money, and I've just ordered something to eat. I look at her, I say, you can have anything. You can have anything you want. She looks at me like, she says, you want to be my blesser? She says, you want to be my blesser for 5 minutes? I say, no, thank you. So the lady across the counter knows me by now, because I travel up and down so many times I can drive it close. Thank God they're designing those cars without drivers for me. Amen. She's a pastor. I said, it doesn't matter, I still want to bless you, but I'll bless you in a different way. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. God will make a way where there seems to be no way, but you have to make up your mind. Come on, you have to be strong and courageous. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, keep on walking. Come on. If you feel like you're going through hell, keep on walking. Come on. Get yourself off the ground and look unto Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In the name of Jesus, you keep on walking. You keep on walking. Come on. Give two or three people a high five and say, you keep on walking in Jesus' name. So where do we get courage from? Number one, you need to make a firm decision. Nothing happens until you make a decision. David got himself off the ground. It's never how you fall, it's always how you get back up again. Everybody fail. Failure is not fatal. You have to make a decision. Even if everybody around you stays down, if everybody begins to sing a sad, negative song, don't join that choir. It's the wrong choir. Come on. If everybody around you begin to weep, don't you become a weeper as well. Maybe you've wept for a moment, but the Bible says weeping endures for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. It's time to turn your mourning into dancing. Come on. It's time to put off your sackcloth and ashes and to be clothed with a garment of praise. Oh, come on. I'm preaching to somebody here this morning going through something. You better give the Lord a praise this morning in this place in Jesus' name. So when God talks to Joshua, he doesn't suggest him to be strong. He commands him. Says, be strong and be of good courage. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you, be strong? Now God's not going to command you to be strong if he knows you cannot be strong. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong in the name of Jesus. So when you feel weak, don't roll over. Make a decision. Number two, the presence of God. Where do we get courage from? David ran into God's presence. The Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. There is no substitute for God's presence. There's no substitute for belonging to a church where the presence of God resides. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He ran to his God as his refuge. And I want to tell you this morning that God's presence will be your shield. God's presence will be your fortress. Come on, God's presence will protect you. His favor will surround you like a shield. You have to believe it. Elijah, when he was under fire, never ran to God. You see, people have two reactions, fight or flight. Some people run to God, some people run to something else. David ran to God for a refuge. Elijah ran to a cave for refuge. What is the cave, Pastor? The cave is the dark place. The cave is the place we develop our negative images. The cave is the place where we want to quit. So Elijah runs from God. Jezebel comes after he kills 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah. He prays fire from heaven. He does a miracle that nobody else did. The next day, Jezebel comes and she says, I'm going to do exactly the same to you that you did to one of my prophets. The Bible says Elijah feared for his life and he ran. And he sat under a juniper tree and he said, enough, oh God, I want to die. I can't handle this marriage anymore. I can't handle this job anymore. I can't handle this situation anymore. I just want out. That's Elijah. You know, we all get thoughts of quitting. Just don't quit. Everybody has an emotion sometimes where you think, I've had it. When I started the ministry in Lady Brand and nobody showed up, I had many thoughts of quitting. As a matter of fact, every Sunday night I thought about quitting. Every Monday morning I had to go gather myself in the presence of God. Walked into a mountain. Preached my heart out. Visited the whole congregation every week. All 23 of them. Amen. Half of them would show up and I would preach like now. As a matter of fact, I would preach louder than this. And I would feel discouraged. And I thought, why couldn't I also just be a salesman? I gave a lot of money to the church. I don't need this. Me telling God, I don't need this, God. Just like Elijah. I'm having an Elijah moment. I say, I did this for you, God. I did that for you. I've tithed. I'm blah, 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 blah. You know what moments I'm talking about? Don't feel bad about it. It just shows that you're a human being. But you can't stay in that place of your humanity or sentiment because it'll destroy you. You have to recover yourself. So God sends an angel. This morning, this preacher, amen, the angel, the messenger, God sends an angel, not a creature with wings. He sends an angel, your wife, your husband, your spouse, a friend, your home cell leader that just says the right thing at the right time. And there you suddenly feel, wow, it's not so bad. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get through this thing. Okay. I'm not going to over exaggerate my problem. Come on. I've been through this before in Jesus' name. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God did it yesterday, he can do it again, and he can do it again, and he can do it again. There is nothing my God cannot do. Suddenly you feel like you've got wings to fly because of an angel. And the angel says to him, get out of the valley, get out of the cave, get back on the mountain into the presence of God. And what happens? Many people, when they go through a crisis, they want something spectacular. So they run to a prophetic meeting, they run to a prophetic word, but God says, no, I'm not in a wind that shakes the mountain. Then there is an earthquake that breaks the mountain. God's not in the earthquake. Then there's a fire that is so spectacular. God is not in the fire. And then there is a still small voice. And Elijah wraps his face in his mantle because he hears that familiar voice. You see, he's lost perspective. When we stop listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, we lose ourselves. We lose perspective. And he wraps his face in his mantle. His identity returns. He's not a loser. He's a winner. And he hears the voice of God that says, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm not finished with you. I still have a future for you. I still have a great tomorrow for you. I still have a great story to write in your life. Oh, come on. I need somebody to give the Lord a praise in this place. Hallelujah. God says, I'm not finished with you. Go anoint Jehu as the next king over Israel and go find Elisha and put your mantle upon him because he's going to be the prophet after you. And he recovers himself in the presence of God. Number three, I have to go quickly. You need to pray. James chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, is any man suffering, let him pray. You say, Pastor, I'm praying. Keep on praying. Pray long and hard. Continue to pray. Continue to knock on heaven's door. What did David do? He ran to his priest who brought the ephod. And he said, shall I pursue? And God says, pursue. He got a word from God, a rhema. James chapter 1, the Bible says, if any man goes through a trial, a crisis, a tribulation, pray to God for wisdom. But pray, not double-minded, for a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. So he prays. When you're under fire, doesn't help you run to a bottle of alcohol. Doesn't help you run to a dark place. You need to run to God as your refuge. Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Come on, give the Lord a praise for His goodness and for His love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, are you still with me? Number four, the Word. Romans 10, 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to fight your battles without faith. Proverbs, the Bible says, the spirit of man sustains him in a time of weakness or infirmity. You need to feed your spirit. Matthew 4, 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what happens to David? He gets a word, a rhema. Didn't have the Bible like we had, but he had a rhema. And his hope returns. His faith returns. He has a rhema. When you're under fire, go see what God's word says. Get a promise. Those promises on yay and amen. Number five, are you ready? My time is up. Number five, other people. Look at the person next to you. That person is part of your solution, hopefully not your problem. When you're under fire, you have to surround yourself with the right people and get rid of the wrong people. Last thing you want to do when you're under fire is to isolate yourself. You want to be planted in a church somewhere. You want to have prayer partners. You want to have people that love you and believe in you. Like the early church in the name of Jesus, when they were suffering persecution after their great day, a bitter day came. What did they do? The Bible says again and again, they prayed. They cried out to God. They huddled together like a rugby team. Amen. Before the game. Like a soccer team. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we're speaking faith. Amen. Like a team. They huddled together. Family. The Bible says we bear one another's burdens. You're not going to overcome by yourself. You need your brother and your sister. You need a church where you can experience the presence of God and where you can be fed and encouraged. Because every time you walk out of these doors, I know there's a battle that rages out there. So you can't afford to miss the assembling of the saints, as the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10, 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another. Not to criticize, but to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Jesus taught us to pray our Father. People. Oh, people can be the source of your trouble, but people can also be the source of your salvation. They can be the very angel that God sent into your life. Do not break relationships with the right people. Stay close to people who have strong faith. People who, when you fall, will lift you up in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Even David, for him to recover everything, he had to inspire people to go with him. Although he had the word, he could not do it by himself. He had to surround himself. He had to change his environment. One of the greatest leadership passages, that and Paul on the ship. If you want to study leadership as a businessman, watch those two passages. How they got wisdom, how they navigated through a very bad crisis moment. So firstly, David gathers himself, he picks himself up, and then he had to say something that could inspire people who had no energy, not even the will to fight. That's what discouragement does. It takes the will to fight out of you, where you just want to survive. Just like, I just want to survive. No, God never called you to survive. He called you to thrive. You can't just survive. Oh, I understand. Sometimes the storms are severe and you have to put your head down and you just have to walk through that storm and say nothing, because no good thing wants to come out of your mouth. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Then you better just bite your tongue and shut up and just walk and walk and walk and walk until your sanity returns in the presence of God. And then you begin to say again like David, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to wait on God to fulfill His word in my life. Come on, weeping in tears for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. I may be on the ground, but tomorrow I'm going to be on my feet again. Come on, if you receive the word this morning, give the Lord a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, you've got to praise Him. Some of you, you've got to praise Him in your situation right now. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Oh, come on, praise Him. Put your notebook down for a moment and praise Him. Begin to pray, begin to pray. Come on there, infant. God is bigger than your trouble. God is stronger than your storm. Come on, praise Him. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise Him this morning as if your life depends on it, because sometimes it does. Let that depression go. Come on, lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your voice and pray, 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 pray in the Holy Ghost. Take your husband's hand, take a friend's hand. Come on, take a friend's hand. Let them feel this morning that there is faith in you.
Powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
God loves you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. And today, in this place, I open my heart and I accept you. My personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for washing me in your blood. Thank you for forgiving all my sin. I surrender all to you today. Thank you for loving me just as I am. Thank you for a new beginning with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.